Hello, rescuers. My name's Che Webster, and this is the Roleplay Rescue Dungeon Master's Diary. When TJ Drennan set up to do the Dear Diary theme for the DM's Diary, he actually provided me with a particularly special performance of it, which he entitled Dear Diary as Crom Intended. And so, to open the show today, I wanted to play the full version. As Crom intended. Take it away, TJ.
Things he won't share with us, the darkness in his brain, the dungeon master's plan, the pleasure and the pain. What's better left unknown, keep calling out to me. I hear him think out loud, to die. Only the break shall come. Open to page
It's Wednesday morning, and there's a range of kind of unconnected thoughts that I wanted to try and record. I'd forgotten, by the way, a couple of things from the school game. So first of all, I wanted to say that one of the things that came out of last night's session with three players was that they sort of said they quite like it as three players. I was talking about maybe you want to recruit an extra player or two to try and like beef up the party, and the response was, no, we kind of quite like it like this. We like that we get a bit more time at the table, and we like that it's not, you know, it's a nice group. They seem as a bunch of players, as three people, we need to get on quite well. So that was interesting. Secondly, I discovered what the other group are playing. I actually found this out a few days ago, and I completely forgot to mention it. But basically, they're playing Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, but they're playing a superheroes game. And they've kind of converted 5th edition D&D and they're running a kind of version of their own of 5th edition. I have no idea on how and what they're doing. It sounds mostly like it's kind of in their heads, which is fine. But having a good time. There's three lads. They're good friends. They're part of my tutor group as well. And they are all basically just having a good time in the corner. Kind of slightly noisy. Basically having a good laugh and doing their own thing. And I think that's awesome. I personally just think that's brilliant. I haven't come across a 5th edition Supers game. There probably is one, but I didn't pay much attention to 5th these days. But it was great for that. They prefer Dungeons & Dragons as a game. They've got this thing that Dungeons & Dragons is what true role-playing is, which is kind of funny. One of them's dad, I think, played back in the day and sort of, you know, he knows about Redbox when I came to bring that here a while ago. But yeah, they like the 5th ed better. They like, it's what they like doing. So that's cool. I just think, more power to them. Awesome source. Third thing was just a mention about GURPS Light and GURPS Ultralight, actually. GURPS Ultralight was the thing I want to talk about. So at the weekend, I completely failed to actually have a game of it, but I did have a read-through, and I did sort of monkey around a little bit with it, just kind of getting my head around it. And I have to say, I was sort of underwhelmed, which is how I usually feel about light rules. But yeah, I was kind of underwhelmed. And it's really weird. I was talking to Frank Turfler. I say talking. Frank Turfler and I are messaging back and forth on Messenger. And I think we're of the same view that there's a couple of nice bits in it. But basically, it's sort of feels unfinished, feels incomplete. I kind of made the comment that I think I could do better. And then I kind of realized, you know, gosh, I'm... I don't want to do better, if you know what I mean. I don't want that challenge, that task particularly. But yeah, I do think I could do better. There's a couple of things I really like in it. The way attributes are stacked, I quite like. A series of ranges of numbers, if you like. They call it levels. Sort of 8, 10, 12, 14 and 16, I think it is, off the top of my head. I quite like those breakpoints. And I was thinking about stealing those for my Dungeons of Thal game. Instead of rolling 3d6 for random stats, I'm kind of thinking about maybe allowing them to choose, you know, one as kind of high, one as sort of better than average, one average and one below, or something like that, of the four stats, or some kind of combination of those things. That was nice. Other than that, though, I found myself feeling a little bit kind of, this is incomplete. And it is version 0.8 that's available free. It feels like a project that never really got off the ground. Anyway, there you go. I feel like I'm really getting into playing GURPS. I'm really enjoying it. And the other thing was, last night I realised that I'm, essentially with a kids game, I'm defaulting towards the Dungeon Fantasy role-playing game. I've got a copy of the box here at school, so I have two of them. And I've been referencing the books, and I kind of realised that actually that's great for what we're doing, a simple dungeon game. And aside from just ignoring the character templates and all of the stuff about that, the actual skill list, which is cut down and much more melded towards dungeon gaming, and all the other stuff in it, the monsters and all that, the stuff advice on traps, stuff advice on magic items and all sorts of stuff, it's just great. So I'm going to dig a bit deeper into that, I think, over the coming weeks, and maybe just lean on that more as a game. There you go. Some thoughts.
I know I keep saying this, but I am so glad that you are putting so much energy into GURPS. I am really enjoying following you on your journey through this system and what it's taking to master this system. You had pointed me to GURPS Lite already, and GURPS Lite maybe should be more like beginner GURPS as opposed to GURPS Lite or GURPS Basic, because it certainly still has a lot of the basic or core rule concepts. And what I think of a light game, I think of something that has few rules with all of the playability of the system that it is light for. So when you said ultralight, I was very excited. As somebody who is really looking to understand new game systems and new conflict resolution mechanisms, I feel that GURPS is a good system to look at. And so when you said ultralight, I thought, oh, this is one of my favorite things to do, is to take a game and strip it down to the core of what that game is. I quickly did a search for GURPS Ultralight, and I didn't know if it was a fan-based thing or, what it was, but miraculously, Google pulled it up for me, and it was a Steve Jackson Games project. So I quickly downloaded it and opened it. While I didn't read it at first, I noticed right away that it was a pocket mod format. That was exciting to think, wow, they've been able to boil down GURPS into a pocket mod. This should be interesting. And while you could call it interesting, once I started looking at the rules, I became really disappointed. It was quite a letdown, actually. The rules were they were written in a very awkward fashion. And while they still used a very similar conflict resolution mechanism, it wasn't exactly GURPS. And so I felt like they were not creating an ultralight version of GURPS. They were creating a GURPS simulation that they tried to squeeze into a pocket mod format. Further investigation revealed that this was supposed to be an ongoing project, and I could only hope that they would one day want to pick this up again and look at it. I realized that it was probably not a very serious project, otherwise it would have gotten done. But if it's not something that you're going to continue working on, or something that you're going to take seriously, you might consider not having it at all. I believe your comment was that you could have come up with something so much better, and I agree. In fact, I'm going to make a suggestion that you and I work together to create our version of GURPS Ultralight.
Frank. Crikey, man. I have to say, yes, I'm really up for it. I really want to have a go at creating a sort of super light GURPS-inspired game, I suppose. I want to take the GURPS game that I'm loving and really developing massive affection for and, yeah, strip it right down. Sort of naked GURPS. GURPS stripped. I don't know. All sorts of weird and wonderful things went through my mind then. Then wonderful Frank Turfler there calling in, and hey, great minds think alike, I guess. Neither of us particularly impressed with GURPS Ultralight, but seeing the potential. So yes is the answer. Yep. We'll chat. Game on. Right, quick lunchtime thing at work. I've had a parcel delivered and I don't really know what's in it, actually. I actually don't even really know what this might be at all. So, let's have a look. What have I got? Okay. Oh my. I had entirely forgotten about this. Game director screen. Brevarium. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the Aqualaire rulebook. Okay, so something from the Spanish company Nosolorol, I think it's called. The company republished by Nocturnal Media. This is poignant as well for me. I backed this a long while ago, and awesome. Sorry, I'm not sounding very coherent because I'm a little bit emotional, to be honest with you. Stuart Vike. Aqualaire is a role-playing game, sort of medieval kind of, I guess, feel, magic and what have you, dark kind of medievalism, and deeply sort of touches on like faith and demonology and angelology and all sorts of things like that, and was being translated by Nocturnal Studios just prior to Mr. Vike's death, which is a couple of years ago, maybe 18 months, something like that, I don't know. But essentially one of the last projects that he worked on, and this dice too. It's kind of nice, have a little... Aqualaire has a logo of a kind of horned beast on the front, and these dice have a logo on this. Two lots of 3d6 and a d10.
And a D6 and two more D10s. There we go, different types. Fantastic. Oh man, this is something to get into. So I've got the main hardback rulebook, which is in shrink wrap, and I'm going to leave alone for the time being. And I have a paperback Bravarian, which is really the rules, sort of a summary of everything, really. And as well as a GM, game director screen, GM screen, which is gorgeous. The artwork is phenomenal. It's kind of very medieval feel, kind of tapestry feel, but obviously completely new stuff. Oh yeah. Oh wow, I'm going to have to dig into that one and have a look. Cool. I'm a bit moved, I'm a bit touched, I'd forgotten about this. Game on. Saturday evening. Looks like I'm getting my game on tonight, which is brilliant. Jason Connolly from Nerds RPG Variety Cast is hosting a one-off game of Barbarians of Lemuria, which is a game I've never played and barely looked at, to be honest with you. Anyway, just hopped on to Discord and onto Roll20 and created a character, Ventar, which is cool. Ventar's a barbarian, assassin, gladiator, mercenary, which sounds very complicated, doesn't it? But it really isn't. Yeah, cool. So the game is tonight. It's brilliant. We've got three or four different people. One of them I don't know, and I'm not sure what the name is, but the ones I do know are great. It's Shandy Andy from Unguarded Treasure. I've got Free Thrall, also known as Spencer from Keep Off the Borderlands, and the amazing Evil Jeff from Minions and Musings. So that's going to be awesome. And I believe there's an extra player as well. So we could be in for a good session, I suspect. I'm made up because of a couple of things. First of all, I think it's great that Free Thrall is going to be gaming with us. I don't know if it's his first game online. Probably not. But, yeah, it's certainly cool to be able to game with him. We game on Rollgate, and it'll be lovely just to game together and hear his voice, really, which is awesome. And the second thing I'm really stoked about is the fact that I'm sort of getting the game in and with Jason and Shandy as well, and with Evil Jeff. All people who I listen to and I really admire and I really, you know, want to know more of, if you like. And it's great to have that opportunity. It always makes me feel positive and good and uplifted. So, yeah, half an hour, we're on to the game. And in the meantime, it's time to eat. Hey, it's Sunday morning, and I'm up relatively late from last night's game. Yeah, it must be about 6:30 a.m., which is much later than I'm normally up, guys. Nearer 4:45, 5 o'clock most days. Anyway, late to bed. 2300, I think, we finished gaming. Just want to say, first of all, great time. Really good fun time. And a big thank you to Jason Connolly for running the game. It was absolutely ace. We played a game of Barbarians of Lemuria using the Legendary Edition. This is a game that, whilst I've thought of been aware of it, it's been a name that I've heard bandied around. It's not a game that I'd owned or read. I think it was something like $4 to buy. So I bought the Legendary Edition on PDF a couple of weeks ago when Jason suggested it, and then completely failed to read it till today. Yesterday, sorry. And I was kind of just about able to get to the game in time, made character about an hour before play. But yeah, it was a good time. And, oh my goodness, I think I said yesterday I was suspicious this might be the case, but Free Thrall Spencer, that was his first online game, and I'm so honoured to have been there. So Spencer, if you're listening, thank you so, so much for letting me share in your first ever online game. I really, really feel honoured by that. And I'm just so pleased, really. Getting your gaming is just great. And I know it's so difficult for you to find the time, find the space and you know, and all of that. So thank you so much for making that effort as well, because it was great fun to game with you. Great fun to, you know, stand alongside Krongar. It was excellent stuff. And thank you to Gabriel and to Shandy Andy and to Evil Jeff, the other players. It was brilliant and lovely to meet Gabriel. If you're listening, I don't know if you listen to my show, but if you do, man, it was so cool.
And thanks for coming up onto that roof with me and sliding down that rope to come in through the roof at the top. That was awesome. So I loved all that stuff. And yeah, we did it, by the way. We managed to deal with the evil sorcerer and save the damsel who was being sacrificed and all that stuff. And I was playing Ventar, the barbarian, whom I don't want to forget because he was a cool character. It's really good fun. Really had a lot of fun with that. I'm not sure if I was a bit irritating, but hey. I think Evil Jeff afterwards is sort of complimented me on my desire to get on and be active. I think he might think that that was actually me role-playing. Or was it Ventar? Or was it me just being an impatient arse? I don't know. Anyway, I digress. Brilliant stuff. If I had one complaint, it's just that I'm not a massive fan of Roll20. I find that clunky as anything. But Jason dealt with it with aplomb and all the other players were patient. It was good. So thank you, all of those guys, for gaming. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, awesome. Coffee. That's what I need now. All right, it's so about 10:30 Sunday, and just back from a walk, actually. I just took in a walk over to Aldi, which is about a 20-odd, 22-minute or so walk. It took me, it's a little over a mile, about 1.2 miles there and back, and just took me about 22 minutes, something like that, 20 minutes, which is good. I'm a little breathless, though, so you'll forgive me for that. And I'm just going to have a bit of a mid-morning snack. Really trying hard to kind of control my cravings this morning. I'm telling you because it's a little bit of accountability, I guess. It's kind of useful for me. Anyway, two things this morning. So I started listening to the session from the Adventurers of Palantir game that I'm running on the Friday night with the Friday Night Gamers. And I suppose I've listened to about maybe the first 30 minutes or so. I'm not entirely sure. So that was interesting. First of all, I use the word so much, too much, and the word okay, far too much. there you go. Interesting. I was kind of working on something else, which I'll talk about in a second, while I was listening. But I, yeah, there are a lot of things. So as Joe, I think in the last DM's diary, Joe mentioned that he sort of called in and mentioned that it was great for a GM to be able to hear, first of all, things that help you keep your world details kind of accurate. And that's certainly very true. There are a number of things that I threw out in the session. Bits of information, some of which were very much off the top of my head or were kind of in my head, but which hadn't been written down anywhere. So they've kind of come out. And I think what I need to do is perhaps sit and listen through the whole thing with a notepad in hand, actually, and just make a note of all of the fiction that I, fictional elements that I kind of have. And this is where I suppose, this has been nagging me, actually, it's where I suppose using World Anvil might be really useful for me to sort of codify all that stuff. I could make notes by hand and I could go back and kind of throw them all into World Anvil. Kind of worry about that because it's a time consuming thing to do, to sit through a 3-hour session again and make notes. So I'm not sure how that would work in a working week, but I'm on a holiday right now, so I suppose I could do it from the first session this week. So that's something maybe on my to-do list. Well, not on my to-do list, but I should perhaps put there. The second thing I noticed is that I talk a lot as a GM. And I'm really conscious of this when I'm playing. I'm really conscious of not overdoing it. But I do throw in quite a bit of detail. When people ask a question, I don't necessarily just answer that question. So I'm going to watch that, I think. I think I'm going to try and just answer the questions. I think allowing players to ask the questions is perhaps going to be a better thing for me. So I think I'm just going to try and answer the question asked. and I did the same when someone asked me a rules question. I kind of tend to answer too much. I know the rules very well, and I kind of feel like it's really important to answer all the question fully. But actually what I think I need to do is just answer the question. So that's a first thing. I think also I'd like to sit down. I think if I do sit down and make notes, one of the things I might do is I might time the amount of, you know, like, one of the things I'm interested in is maybe looking at how much time a player is waiting before they get to take action or to chip in. Now, I did notice that I'm moving around the table, at least in the early part of the session, moving around the table fairly quickly. I had a situation where three characters are in three different places, and I was trying to move between them. And there's some good stuff. I noticed one of the things I quite liked I was doing, and not very consciously, obviously, but one of the things I quite liked I was doing was kind of asking someone to roll dice and then moving to another person while they resolve their thing, and then coming back to them, how did you get on, later when it was their turn, and kind of moving around the table. And I think I'm going to try and do that more. I think I'm already doing it, so that's maybe not something I need to consciously do, but I liked that in the early part of the session. So, yeah, a couple of good things, I suppose. A thing to work on, answer the question, don't be too wordy. Other side of things, kind of do keep the pace up by moving around the table, allowing people to make a roll one, resolve that while you deal with someone else. I think it might seem, the only downside of that is it might seem to the player that I'm not really paying attention to them as I move around the table quite quickly, but I am, and I'm able, I think, to process quite a lot that's going on, you know, at one go. I kind of know how my head works, so I don't know, interesting. I'm going to keep listening through anyway. I've got over the sense of, you know, really listening to myself game. I was really self-conscious about listening to myself running a game. And I kind of feel vaguely sanguine, I think, now. In fact, almost keen to, yeah, I would be okay, I think, putting, at least what I've heard so far, up on to, say, Patreon for the patrons to listen to if they wanted to. I don't know if they would be interested, but 2.75-hour session. But, yeah, I could see if anyone was interested. I mean, I'm personally not a person who listens to actual plays, so this is one of the barriers I had to listening to myself as a GM, is that I don't listen to actual. I don't see listening to someone else play a game or watching someone else play a game as a fun thing personally. I like to play. I guess though, if you don't get to play very much, maybe you'd have a completely different perspective on that. And I think there is a certain element of which you can enjoy someone else playing. Anyway, it's never been for me up till now listening to actual plays, so the thought of putting mine out there seemed a bit like hypocritical to me, but never mind. That being said, I thought it would sound awful, and it doesn't sound quite as awful as I thought it would, so maybe I'm more comfortable. Anyway, I'm blithering now. Second thing this morning, I don't think I've mentioned this actually in the journal or in the diary, so I made a deck of artifact cards. If you think back to season 4, if you listen to the incredibly long interview with me and Gabriel Rourke, you will hear me talk about, or Gabriel talk about, first of all, the artifact deck, and then me really engage with that idea. And I took that idea and I have run with it somewhat. I engaged the services of James J.E. Shields, the artist, to do for me 50 artifact images. These are kind of 1/8 of a page, black and white line art drawings, pen and ink. And we have been doing them in batches of 10 because it's kind of pricey to buy art. And that allows me to sort of buy 10 images in a month and pay for them in a month. James himself has been having a bit of a torrid time in October. So September, October. So I had the first lot done in the first month, and then it's been now 2 months since we've had the second sort of set of line arts done. James is hoping to get those to me this week, I think, sort of maybe just in time for me getting paid. So that would be really good. I'd have the second set. Anyway, the first set, I've managed to get those. Oh, this is such a long task, but basically learning how to do create a card. So I've used a service in the States, Game Crafter, I think it was, and I made a tarot sized deck of cards. And if you're a patron, you've seen images of these. If you follow me on MeWe or on Facebook or on Twitter, you've probably seen these as well, because I think I posted a couple of images up on my social media feeds. But anyway, I had these cards made. They have an image on one side, and on the other side they have a very simple description, a lot of white space, because I kind of intend them to be usable by players to scribble on, actually, which I know sounds sacrilege if you're having a thing made properly, but you know, I'm going to go with that. And at the bottom they've got an ID number. They've also got a little bit of a copyright notice and obviously illustrations by J.E. Shields. And then they've also got the weight of the item. And then what I'm doing separately and what I sat down to do today is I'm making myself a little A5 booklet for my set of cards. And I'm going to do these probably in batches of 10 or so. And I what I want to do was actually do an info booklet which contained details on the cards. So each ID number on the card is kind of matched into my little A5 deck booklet, and the booklet there contains more complete details. So it has the name of the item, the copy of an image. In most cases, the only exception has been the scroll, because I needed the space on the booklet to detail my scroll details. But actually, it has a little description from the card in there, although I realised you kind of didn't necessarily need to duplicate that. But I thought it was nice for the GM to have it in front of them. And it has a little section entitled Upon Further Inspection, where I can put a couple of bullet points of if the players look at it in more detail, what kind of things can they notice. And I think there I might detail out if there's a perception roll or something to actually note. I'm going to put that there. And then there's the secret about it. There's a space for a secret about the item. And at the bottom, any kind of special effects or magical effects. And that's been cool. And the real genius is, I'm sorry to sort of give myself a sense of genius, but what I've done with the scrolls and potion items is I have made those into random tables. So there is, for example, for the potion, there are two rolls made. One for what the thing looks like, the kind of colour of the potion, if you like. And the second is on what the potion is. And these are all drawn from, for me, from the GURPS Dungeon Fantasy stuff. And cool, it's really, really cool. Now, today I sat down with the decks and I've started making the A5 booklet, and I'm really enjoying it, actually. I've just been kind of putting the images in and bringing over the descriptions from the cards and starting to think about what the items are and what they're all about. Now, I kind of know what they are in my head, but obviously it's about making this and codifying this. And what was really pleasing as well is I've had people on social media saying, hey, are you selling these? Which I honestly and genuinely, hand on heart, had not even considered doing, really. I think maybe the idea had sort of surfaced that, I think James Shields might have mentioned, you know, you're always allowed to sell them if you want, but it hadn't really occurred to me that anyone would be interested in my artifacts. But some people have said, hey, these are nice, you know. So there's a part of my mind that is wondering whether I couldn't pull together a deck. And one of the things that I kind of like to do, and I don't know, so if you're a patron, listen up. I don't know if this is of interest. Patreon allows me to do a sort of special offer. And what I was thinking was, as we come towards the end of the first year of Roleplay Rescue, of offering a copy of my artifact deck, so maybe having a print up of them, a small print run done, for anyone who's sort of a $5 a patron or more. I've got a number of patrons. Most of my patrons are $1. Thanks, guys, putting a dollar in the chip jar. These cards cost a bit. The first 10 just cost me $2.28 at cost, you know. If I was to do a deck of, say, 20, 30 cards, which I might have ready by Christmas because the way we're doing this, I don't know if there's any interest in that, but maybe the $5 patrons, it's a great way of kind of saying thank you to you guys. So if you're interested in that idea, patrons, yeah, maybe give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I don't know. Let me know what you think. And yeah, maybe it'll have to end up being a very limited thing. But I would be interested in seeing if anyone has an interest in that. The other alternative, of course, is to try and find a way of getting them put together onto Drive-Thru. But to be honest with you, I think that is probably beyond my technical skills. And unless someone's willing to help me put together the deck through Drive-Thru, I would not know how to do that. Anyway, I've blithered for long enough. It's time for me to have some sort of snack. So, yeah, I think I'm going to kind of shut up. Game on.